assume the big attraction was the topic that I had advertised. TBA. Yeah, so I decided very last minute what the topic was going to be, and I was inspired when in my shul on the night going into Shavuos, on the Motzei Shabbos going into Shavuos, we invited Rabbi Shai Schechter to give a shir, and he said over a vart from the Baal Shem Tov that really resonated with me. So I'll start with that vart, and that way I'll introduce the topic. I have a recording, it's okay. And that way I'll introduce the topic. The vart that he said was as follows. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirin where the pasuk tells us that Mi yitencha ka'ach li, that we talk to the Ribbono Shalom in this love song with the Ribbono Shalom, that if only the Ribbono Shalom would be like a brother to us. That seems like a little bit of a strange request. You know, you're writing a love song, you're writing a description of the closest relationship human beings can have. You would think an ach is not the closest relationship. The closest relationship is a spouse, a husband and wife. Why would it be that we're talking about this relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael, and we use the term ach? Mi yitencha ka'ach li. So Rabbi Schechter quoted two answers from the Baal Shem Tov, and a third answer occurred to me. The first answer he quoted from the Baal Shem Tov is that a spouse, as close as the relationship is, it's not guaranteed to last forever. Meaning there is such a concept called divorce, and that would sever a relationship between a husband and wife. Whereas a brother, a sister, a sibling relationship, no matter what happens, that relationship is always going to be there. There's no, whether you like it or not, no matter how much you enjoy that relationship, there is no breaking of that relationship. In fact, that's probably the bracha in the Sheva Brachos where we talk about the ahava, the achva, v'shalom v'reyus. That it's ahava and achva. Those are two different things. Ahava is a relationship of choice. It's the love of choice. Achva is also a love, but one that's not of choice. The greatest bracha we give to Chasan and Kala is that, yes, you are already ohavim, but you should also recognize a certain sense of responsibility to the relationship. That this is not something that can come and go on a whim. There's a sense of achva in the relationship. But it's only a sense of achva. Only an actual sibling has real achva, has that relationship of that can never be severed. The second answer that he quoted at the time from the Baal Shem Tov was that the expression of love between a spouse, as close as the relationship is, the deepest expressions of love between a husband and wife are reserved for the private domain. It is not appropriate for spouses to express their deep love for each other in the most intense way in public. It is always done in a more private setting. Whereas, when it comes to a sibling relationship, even the most intense expressions of love between siblings are appropriate to be expressed in public. There's nothing inappropriate about the public expression of love. And that's what we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for. We're telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, look, Ribbono Shel Olam, we know you love us. Of course you love us. However, not everybody else realizes that you love us. Sometimes things happen to Klal Yisrael where it's not so evident that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. So we're asking, be ka'ach li, be like a brother to me, someone who can express that love freely, publicly, without being embarrassed to express the depth of that relationship. And I wanted to suggest that maybe there's a third explanation of why it is that we call the Ribbono Shel Olam, or we request that the Ribbono Shel Olam be like an ach, be like a brother to us. And that is that as much as one loves their spouses, usually, well, it's not always true, usually what we love about our spouses is that they are nothing like us. Typically, people tend to complement each other in a marriage, and their strengths complement your weaknesses, and then in that way you're sort of mashlim each other. You know, you ever find, I don't know, I've never done a study on this, but I would bet, you know, sometimes their parent has just like a certain special relationship with a particular child. Not you know, of course we love all of our children, we love all of them equally, but sometimes there's just like this special relationship. I know it's a little uncomfortable to even say that, right? It's not politically correct to say such a thing. I remember Rav Asher Weiss once spoke in DRS many years ago, and he said he was talking about the different essays in Torah that he's written over the years, and he said, you know how a parent has so many children sometimes, but there's just that one child that he has this special place in his heart for that one child. So that's how I feel about my Divrei Torah. There's one piece in Minchas Asher and Bereishis that I love more than I love all the rest of the pieces. And I'm thinking, wait, back up to that mashal again? Wait, you're allowed to love one child more than the rest? I didn't even understand the mashal. But sometimes you find that special connection. I would bet that if someone were to do a study of this, that the child that develops that special connection with the parents is usually the child that is most like the spouse, not the parent with whom they have the relationship. The child that's most like you, you're likely to become most frustrated with. Because the one that's most like you, you see all of your own failings, all of your own shortcomings that you have now bequeathed to this child. The child that is most like your spouse, that's the most attractive to you. That's the one that's most interesting and that you fall in love with. So in a certain sense, a love for a spouse, of course, is the most intense love. But what you see in your spouse is not yourself. The love for a sibling is an entirely different kind of love. What you see in your sibling is yourself. Meaning there's no matter how distant siblings are from each other, geographically, hashkafically, there are certain mannerisms, there are certain habits, there are certain ways of talking that you can tell when people are siblings. That it's almost like based on the shared experiences of childhood, that there's just a certain kinship, there's a certain connection between the two people. And maybe that's what we're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mi tencha ka'ach li. Ribbono Shel Olam, remember, no matter how different we are from what we are supposed to be, we still have that Selam Elokim. We're still reminiscent of you. We're still the image of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what we're always asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to remember. So when Rabbi Schechter said this Dvar Torah, or at least the first two-thirds of this Dvar Torah that I just mentioned now, it got me thinking, oh, why don't I talk about siblings? So maybe we should talk about siblings on the day of the Chinuch, whatever you call this Yom Iyun. So I started looking around to see what's out there on the sibling relationship. And there is a lot of discussion of the hashkafa of a sibling relationship, a lot of discussion of siblings in Tanakh, because siblings in Tanakh were beyond dysfunctional. I mean, it was, especially in Sefer Bereishis, siblings in Tanakh were very, very challenging, and I think that's meant to be a nechama for us a little bit. When your children are at each other's throats, you remind yourself, they could have been Kayim and Hevel, they could have been Esav and Yaakov, things could have been worse. But in fact, that's how some explain when we bless our children that they should be like Menashe and Ephraim. Of all the siblings, we choose Menashe and Ephraim because those are the only ones that actually got along with each other, that were in it together. And that's the greatest bracha that a parent could want. There's nothing that frustrates a parent more than when the children aren't getting along with each other. So I found there was a lot of discussion of that, and I have little to contribute in that area. So instead, I wanted to focus, in the time that we have remaining, I wanted to focus on the halacha of sibling relationships. And I think there are four major halachos that specifically relate to siblings, and I could be missing some because I only thought about this recently, and I'm sure people will come over to me and tell me which ones I'm missing. Now, just to take a few off the table before we get to the four that we're going to discuss, there are certain halachos that just relate to relatives. And siblings are a relative, and therefore they are included in that halacha. But it's not really about siblings. For example, there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to your sibling before you give tzedakah to some other poor person who needs the money. Why? Because those who are closest to you come first. That's a din of kedima in tzedakah. Priority is given to those who are close to you. But that's not really about being a sibling per se. That's much more just about the idea of a relative. There are dinim of Yerusha when it comes to siblings, at least siblings min ha'av, paternal siblings, but also that's an extension of family relationships, not unique to siblings. Siblings are just somewhere along the line of Yerusha. There are halachos of avelos, when Rachman al-San, someone loses a sibling, but that too is not unique to a sibling. The same applies to all direct relatives, right? To all the Zayin Krovim, to all the direct relatives that a person has in their life. So those are the halachos that one could argue are sibling-related halachos that we're not going to talk about. The halachos that I think are uniquely sibling-related halachos, anyone want to guess? Anything come to mind? What's that? Yichud? I think you mean Yibum, perhaps? No, Yichud. So Yichud. So I should have mentioned this also as part of the ones that we're not going to talk about. When it comes to the issues of arayos, siblings are different than other arayos, in the sense that normally arayos are divided into two categories. There are those people, arayos are people that are very forbidden to marry, right? So there are those people that are very forbidden to marry that you don't have any yetzer hara for whatsoever, and therefore yichud is totally mutter, and chibuk v'nishuk is totally mutter, like a mother and a son, or a grandmother and a grandson, or a father and a daughter, or a grandfather and granddaughter, where there's no problem of hugging and kissing your own daughter, your own granddaughter, your own for a mother to hug and kiss her own son, or have yichud or even live in the same home together all alone. Right? Then there's another category of arayos where all of these things are totally forbidden, right? Like an eshes ish, for example, someone else's wife, absolutely forbidden to have chibuk, v'nishuk, and yichud, and all of these things. In a certain sense, siblings are somewhere in between. The isser of hugging and kissing is not quite as clear and strong as the isser applies to other arayos, but it exists. Meaning the Rambam says some very not favorable things about people who are overly physically affectionate with their siblings of the opposite gender. The isser of yichud sort of exists, but not in its normal form. You're allowed to be alone in a room together with a sibling for a very long time. Just, you're not allowed to live together. Bekvius, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he suggests that parents shouldn't go on long vacations and leave a son and a daughter, if there's only one of each, in the home together because of yichud concerns. So there is like some idea of yichud, but not exactly the same yichud. I'd rather not discuss the arayos, but that is a good point. But I sort of tipped my hand on what one of the halachos is, and that is yibum. Right, yibum is unique to a sibling. We don't think of it as a halacha nowadays because we don't do it anymore. We only do chalitza, but it's in the Torah, and it probably even predates the Matan Torah. The story of Yehuda and Tamar, according to the Ramban's understanding, may be a story of yibum in a slightly different form. But the idea of yibum, the way the Torah gives it to us, is that a man gets married and he dies before having any children and he has a brother. It is dafka, the brother, who marries the almana in order to produce a family for that man. And that is unique to a brother. It is nobody else that can do that. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains in Mitzvah Tavkov Tzadiches, because the idea behind Yibum is Lefisha Isha, Acha Shaniseis L'ish, Harehi Ke'echad Me'evarav. Once a man and a woman get married, they become like a single unit. She's the husband and wife joined together. Shekein yechayev hateva mipnei maisa ha'av harishon. And he says, and that's built into the teva, that's built into the nature of man and woman, because where did original woman come from? From the etzem of man himself. So when we recreate that, when we get married and recreate that, we're creating a single unit. And therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, I'm skipping a little bit in his Lashon, therefore, hayu mechaste akelolav lahakim lo zerem imenu al yidei achiv shu gam kein kechatsi besaro. The only other person that he's considered to be part of the same unit as, who he shares flesh and blood with, are his siblings, are his brothers. Kedei shia oso hazera memale mekomo. Only the brother can effectively fill the place of his deceased brother, because he is considered to be part of him. They share all of the same DNA. Now that is the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation of the mitzvah of Yibum, something very unique to a sibling. What other halacha relates to a sibling, more practical, the maisa that we actually do?
Yerusha.
So that we already pointed out is more of a halacha that relates to family, and sibling is just one of the family relationships. So, kavod, right? There is a specific halacha independent of all the other dinim of kavod, and we have a lot of people that we have to give kavod to. We're supposed to give kavod, most famously, kaveres avicha v'asimecha. I should have began by saying Bereshus Avi Mori, my father's here, and so I just showed you how to fail in kaveres avicha v'asimecha, but we have an obligation to be mechabid avveim. We also have an obligation to be mechabid tamidei chachamim. We have an obligation to be mechabid lots of people. But the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos tells us, toward the end of Maseches Ksuvos in Daf Kuf Gimel, the Gemara darshens a pasuk, kabedes avicha ve'esimecha, es avicha zu eshes avicha. Es avicha tells us we have to be mechabid a father's wife, even if she's not your mother, meaning a stepfather. Ve'esimecha zu balimecha, a mother's husband, even if he's not your father, meaning a stepfather. Vav yisera l'rabos esachicha hagadol. There's an extra letter in the Torah to tell me that you have to honor your achicha hagadol. Now, how would you translate the term achicha hagadol? So it's your older brother. So is it older brother or oldest brother? Is it older brother or older sibling? Meaning, is achicha just a generic term that we use to describe a sibling, but it could be a sister as well? Is it only the oldest or even an older? This is a fascinating discussion. First of all, is this even a chiyuv d'oraisa to honor, let's say, clearly an oldest brother there's a chiyuv to honor, right? That for sure. Whether it applies to other older brothers and whether it applies to older sisters and oldest sisters may be a discussion. But clearly the oldest brother, there's a chiyuv to honor. So I'm fortunate. My oldest brother, I would have to honor him anyway because he's a massive Talmud Chacham. So like I get to kill two birds with one stone. So, but if a person has an oldest brother, there's no doubt that he has to honor him. And the Gemara darshens it from the extra letter Vav, right? Ve'esimecha. So whenever something is derived from a word, from a letter or a word in the Torah, it's almost always a din da'oraisa. So you would imagine that this would be a chiyuv da'oraisa. But that is not agreed upon by everybody. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim writes that the chiyuv to honor an older brother is midivrei sofrim. So midivrei sofrim is a tricky phrase in the Rambam. Sometimes when the Rambam uses the word midivrei sofrim, he really means midrabanan. The sofrim, the scribes, the rabbanan came up with this halacha. Other times the Rambam means that it was derived using the Torah Shebal Peh. But it's not mefurash bikra, it's not explicit in the pasuk. So the Aruch HaShulchan understands that the Rambam means the first way, midrabanan. Minchas Chinuch understands that no, he just means it's not mefurash bikra, but it's a chiyuv mida oraisa. So, there are rayas in either direction, but there's definitely, the chiv definitely exists. Whether it be daraisa, whether it be darabaran, simple reading of the Gemara is that it's daraisa. What's the basis of the chiv? Why is one obligated to honor the oldest brother or the older sibling? Where does it, granted, it comes from the Torah, but is there a geder of the chiv, an idea behind the chiv? So it seems that this is machlokas rishonim. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos and Shorash Beis writes, it's very simply an outgrowth of Kibud Aveim. How's that an outgrowth of Kibud Aveim to honor your oldest brother? So I could tell you when... So that might not be that might be the other explanation, so we'll get to that in a moment. Outgrowth of Kibud Aveim, I could demonstrate right now. Just a few moments ago, I said that I have an easy time with this chiyuv because I have an oldest brother who's also a massive Talmud Chacham, and therefore I have a double chiyuv to honor him. So a lot of people smiled and said, oh, that's so sweet. But you know who was happiest in the entire room when I said that? My father, right? Because there's nothing a parent likes more, right? Am I right about that? Yeah. There's nothing a parent likes more than when the children get along, and specifically when they're showing kavod and they're appreciating the hierarchy of the family. So that is an extension, therefore, of Kibud Av, to honor an oldest brother. And that's what the Ramban seems to assume. Your parents want you to honor your older siblings, and therefore you should honor your older siblings. Another possibility, though, and this is what it sounds like from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, is that, no, this has nothing to do with Kibud Aveim per se. It's really just a separate inherent chiyuv to honor an older sibling, to honor, or an oldest brother, however you want to say it, to honor Achiv HaGadol. Let's use the Hebrew for now. To honor Achicha HaGadol, an independent Chiv. Where does that independent Chiv come from? Why Achicha HaGadol? Well, if the father were to pass away, it's normally the oldest brother who sort of takes the lead, and everyone looks to for guidance, and okay, what are we going to do? Even with funeral arrangements, that's where everyone turns first. And he sort of is the official or unofficial leader of the family. There's a certain responsibility that he takes. My Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky likes to say that he also took the lumps for everybody else. The oldest sibling is the one that we made all of our mistakes on, you know, as parents. So very often he took the lumps for everybody else, and then we figured out what we were doing already as parents by the time we got to the other children. I don't know. I don't feel that experience. I feel like I'm making as many mistakes with my younger children as I did with my oldest. But the idea is that he sort of more naturally slots into the position of a leader of the family, and with great responsibility, to flip the Spider-Man script, with great responsibility comes great power. Meaning, because he has that responsibility to be the leader of the family, he therefore has that power of demanding the kavod. Now, what would be the nafkamina? What would be the practical difference between these two possibilities? Whether it's just something that makes your parents happy, and that's why you're obligated to honor your older sibling, or whether no, it's an inherent independent chiyuv to honor the older brother because he is who he is. So I don't know if we're going to have time for them, but there are 9 nafkaminas that I can think of. So maybe we'll save all 9 for a different time. But maybe just what time am I supposed to end? 1:20? Is that the 1:20? Okay. So maybe we'll just go through a couple of them. So a number of nafkaminas. What about after the parent is already deceased? Do you still have a chiyuv to honor the oldest brother? So if it's just an extension of, it's what makes your parents happy, so do it. Do you still have an obligation to do what makes your parents happy after they're no longer alive? Now, make no mistake about it. One is still obligated in kibbut ave'im after the parents are deceased. But the form of the mitzvah is entirely different. The way we do kibbut ave'im after a parent is deceased is entirely different than when the parent is alive. The Gemara says this explicitly. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Mechavdo b'chayev, Mechavdo lachar moso, you honor them when they're alive, you honor them after they're deceased, and the Gemara says, how? Mechavdo b'chayev ketzad, how do you honor a parent while they're alive? So what is it? What's the example that the Gemara gives? To honor a parent while they're alive? What's the classic example? Honoring to feed them, give them to drink, right? Do you do that? So after a parent dies, you just bring a lunch bag to the kever? That's ridiculous. Obviously, it's not the same way to be mechabed them. If your mother loved when you wore your purple tie, right? So and then lachar mei ve'esrim, your mother's no longer there. Is it still a kavod to your mother to wear the purple tie? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes explicitly, no, it doesn't make any sense anymore. It's not actually providing nachas ruach anymore. It's not giving a sense of satisfaction to the parent anymore. The way to be mechabed lachar moso, the Gemara says, is you speak in reverential terms about your parents. Hareni kaparas mishkavo, zichron levracha, you know, that kind of thing. To speak about them in reverential terms. So honoring an older brother is an extension of kibbut ave'im in that it makes the parents happy. Well, making the parents happy is no longer a chiyuv once the parents are deceased. So that might be one nafkamina. Another nafkamina is, what kind of kavod are you actually supposed to give to your older brother? So if it's about making your parents happy, then you probably should not treat the older brother with the same types of kavod that you would treat a parent. Because the whole reason it makes them happy is that you're appreciating the hierarchy of the family. And guess who's higher on the food chain than the older brother? The parents are. So you should make sure that there's a certain level of kavod that's reserved specifically for the parents. But if it's an independent chiyuv, maybe all of the same obligations would apply. In fact, the Torah writes, chayev l'chabdo ke'aviv. And the Rambam also, chayev l'chabdo ki'kvod aviv. You have to honor him, but he doesn't just leave it at, you have to honor him like you honor a father. Meaning, implying that there's a certain almost equivalency between the two. Another nafkamina might be, who can be mocha? Meaning, if a father says, I'm mocha in the kavod. Rav Shachter used to give us the example all the time that when he would talk about Kibbutz Avim, that if my child says, "Oh, I read the Gemara. It says that to honor a parent, you have to give him to eat and to drink and dress him." So he said, if my child comes and starts putting on my shoes, right, I would get upset. Well, don't put on my shoes. I can put on my own shoes. Meaning, if a person gets to the point where they're incapable of putting on their own shoes, then yes, that's a kavod. But if they're saying, I don't want you to put on my shoes, you make me feel like, I'm not able to do anything myself anymore, and it doesn't make them feel happy, so then you're not supposed to do it. Why? Because a parent has the right to be mochel on the kavod. Probably because ritzono shel adam zehu kvodo, what a person wants is the very definition of kavod, and if the person doesn't want, if the parent doesn't want, then it's not a kavod. So what if the parent tells you, you know what, don't honor your older brother? Right, there's sometimes in families there are arguments. I know this may be a shock to some people, but sometimes in families not everybody always gets along. So the parents are upset at the older brother. They're so angry at something they did, and they tell the other siblings, "Don't you dare honor your older brother." So would you listen to the parents? If the chiyuv of kavod for the older brother is just an extension of the kavod of the parents, so if the parents say no, then it's no. But if it's an independent chiyuv, having nothing to do with the chiyuv of the parents, not only if the parents say no, do you not listen to them, you're not allowed to listen to them. Because that would be similar to a parent telling you to do an aveira. If a parent tells you, you know what, don't put on tefillin. Don't do chesed. Don't take lulav. Don't eat matzah. Don't observe Shabbos. The halacha is explicit. You're not allowed to listen to a parent because the Gemara explains we're all chayiv in the covenant of the Ribono Shel Olam. We can't listen to a parent who tells us to violate an aveira. So who's able to be mochel may be a nafkamina between these two possibilities. Another nafkamina is what we mentioned before. What about other siblings aside from the oldest? If it's about an extension of Kibbutz Avim, it could be that parents want you to observe that hierarchy of the family, and anyone who's older than you, you know, instead of every time it comes time to wash the Tilas Yadayim or to get brachos on a Friday night, instead or to sit around the table, and instead of everyone fighting every time, it would be much easier if we had like a system. And the easiest system is oldest goes first, then the next oldest, then the next oldest, then the next, right? And don't worry, the youngest one is not suffering in the end. The youngest one usually gets the most love anyway. So you don't have to worry so much. But maybe that hierarchy is something that's helpful to the parents. But if it's an independent chiyuv, maybe that independent chiyuv is only about an oldest brother. We don't know otherwise. There are many, many other nafkaminas. I don't want to get too... A sister might be a nafkamina also. Let's move on, though. So that's halacha number two relating to siblings. So halacha number one relating to siblings, just to review, was yibum. That yibum is reserved specifically for a brother. Halacha number two related to siblings is the chiyuv of kavod, the obligation to honor an older sibling, or perhaps an oldest sibling or an oldest brother, perhaps. A third halacha related to siblings is Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Nun Beis, tells us that Rabbeinu Tam was asked a shaila once that a man had two daughters, and another man went over to the father of these two daughters, gave a ring, and said, Bitcha Mekudeshesli, in front of two eidim, your daughter should be Mekudeshes to me. And he didn't specify which daughter should be Mekudeshes, which daughter he was trying to marry. So, look, in certain, depending on where and when in history you live, if he was dating one of them and he wasn't dating the other one, you could probably guess that it's probably the one that he was dating, right? But this is just a total stranger. You know, he just came, Bitcha Mekudeshes. So which one is the one that's Mekudeshes? What would you say? So Rabbeinu Tam said the older one. Why the older one? Because the halacha is that an older sibling goes before a younger sibling when it comes to getting married. Where do we derive that halacha from? None other than Lavan. Right? The Lavan said, "Oyeyasa kein b'makomenu lasei sabechira lefnei hatziira," that we don't give the older one before the younger one, the younger one before the older one, hatziira lefnei bechira. We don't give the younger one before the older one. The older one has to come first. It's interesting that we derive a halacha from Lavan, meaning one could have derived the opposite halacha, because this turned out to be a machlokas between Lavan and who? And Yaakov, right? So in a machlokas, Lavan and Yaakov, how would you pass it? And yet we seem to paskin like Lavan, which the Shach quotes us in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, that this is something that one should be makbid about, to try to marry off the older children before the younger children, and that the siblings should be makbid about, to try to see to it that the older children should get married first. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf, when it talks about the Benos Salafchad, says that the order in the Torah is altered based on yeshiva versus chachma versus mesiba. It goes through different possible orders, but the Rashbam over there says that we assume that the order of pasuk talks about who gets married first, and it has to be done in order of age because of lavan. So we actually paskin this halacha. Now, I should mention, while we paskin this halacha, it doesn't mean that it's the only consideration in terms of getting married. That age of the children is the only consideration. Now, you could argue that this is really just an extension of the previous halacha. The previous halacha was you have to honor your older sibling. So maybe one of the ways you honor them is by letting them go first for everything, including getting married. And if that's true, Rav Menashe Klein assumes that that's true, he assumes that it's a din of kavod of achia gadol, which is an extension of kibud av ve'eh. Others assume, no, it's just derech eretz. It's not a din of kavod of achiv gadol. There are those that suggest that it's based on a sense of busha and tsar, that it's going to cause embarrassment, anguish to the older sibling if the younger sibling gets married first. Now, interestingly, Rav Asher Weiss points out in his Tshuva Svarim, in his Minchas Asher Chelek Beis, and Rav Moshe really has the same horror, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that, you know, this is a minhag, it's not really a halacha. The idea that the older one gets married before the younger one. And it's very important to realize that, because if there's a halacha that contradicts it, then the halacha wins. So when would there be a halacha that contradicts it? Well, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, not just a mitzvah in the Torah, the first mitzvah in the Torah. First mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah of pruruvu. Younger sibling says, younger brother says, I want to do the mitzvah of pruruvu, I'm ready to get married. And the older sibling says, yeah, but I'm not married yet. So says Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Moshe Feinstein, the younger sibling has every right to say, I have a mitzvah to do. I wish you would be married already, but you're not, but I have a mitzvah to do. So when does this whole minhag apply then? If someone can always say, I want to get married first, like, because I have a mitzvah to do, I have a mitzvah of pruruvu. The mitzvah would apply is if you have multiple children dating simultaneously, and as it turns out, they're both ready to get married around the same time. So whose wedding do you do first? Right, we have friends of the family who are making two weddings 2 weeks apart from each other, 3 weeks apart from each other, something like that. They both were ready at the same time, so someone's got to get married first. That's when you say, you know what, let the older one go first. But other than that, you don't let the older one go first. Whoever is ready first should go first. And Rav Moshe says, you know, the idea of it being embarrassing for the older sibling should not be a factor that deters the younger sibling from getting married. Meaning, it should be something you're sensitive to, because we're always sensitive to other people. But he says, it would be like if you have a neighbor who's unemployed. And it would be like saying, oh, I'm not going to look for a job. How can I look for a job? My neighbor is unemployed. Well, that's ridiculous. Of course you look for a job. You don't go rubbing that job in his face every single day. You don't bring up the topic that every time you get together and have a meal with him, talk all day about your wonderful job. Obviously a certain level of sensitivity, but it shouldn't stop you from living your life. And Rav Moshe says, therefore, if the younger sibling is ready, then the younger sibling certainly can get married before the older sibling. And there are other exceptions too. If the older sibling is mochel, that would certainly be an exception. It could be that brother and sister are an exception, that an older brother maybe can allow a younger sister to go first, or an older sister to allow a younger brother to go first. It's only if the two are otherwise equal in that they're both brothers or they're both sisters. And then a fourth and final halacha that relates to siblings is, and again, this one, much like the last one, may not be a halacha, but it's certainly an idea that exists within the Torah orbit, and that is that if you want to check out a shidduch, the best place to start, according to Chazal, is with the siblings, right? The Gemara derives this in the Seches Bava Basra from the pasuk that tells us that Aaron married Elisheva, Bas Aminadav, Achos Nachshon. Elisheva Bas Aminadav, I understand you're describing what family she's from. Achos Nachshon. So says the Gemara, why achos nachshon? Because if one wants to marry a woman and wants to know more about her, he has to look into, he has to investigate what her brothers are like. Because most of the children are going to end up being like the brother. The Gemara Maseches Sota and Daf Yud Beis tells us that Kalev did the same thing when he married Miriam, that no one wanted to marry Miriam because she had some illnesses and she was unattractive as a result of those illnesses, so she had a hard time getting married, if you can imagine, Miriam. And Kalev said, oh, let's check out the brothers. Ooh, not bad, right? Her brothers are Aaron and Moshe, you can't do much better than that. So Kalev decided to marry Miriam, L'shem Shemayim, because he wanted to have children who were tzaddikim. So that idea certainly exists. And the biggest kasha on that idea that the Achronim discuss is how was Yitzchak allowed to marry Rivka, considering Lavan? How can you marry a Rivka? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes that he knew that Rivka was destined for him. That's why there were all these simanim that had to be set up. The woman who does this when we come to the well, you know, and the water came up to greet. Whatever the simanim were, there was some os min hashamayim. But without a simanim min hashamayim, he would not have done it. Others suggest that Rivka's entire ability to have children was miraculous. That Rivka was akarahi, the Torah tells us. She was really barren, and if she was anyway only going to have children through a miracle, so it was going to be miraculous anyway. So it will also subvert the normal tendency of the children being like the brother. And in fact, that's how some of the Achronim explain that Vayetar Yitzchak, that Yitzchak davened with like an incredible intensity for children, because he wasn't just davening for children. He was davening for those children to buck the trend of the children being like the mother's brother. So he was davening not just to physically have the children, but that the children should be different than what they would normally be expected to be. You know, I always thought that was the pshat in the Chumash, when the Chumash tells us that Rivka was having this extraordinarily challenging pregnancy. And she has this strange expression. She says, Im kein, lama ze anochi. And that's difficult to understand. What is that? Why this am I? What does that even mean? Lama ze anochi. So I always thought that the pshat was, what does it mean? She had no idea that there were twins? I mean, I'm not even good at this. I'm not even good at being able to tell when a woman is pregnant or not. You know, like I keep my mouth shut just in case I'm wrong, you know. But I could tell when a woman's having twins, right? You can normally see if they say, oh, that woman's in her fourth month. Why is she gigantic? Oh, it must be that she's having twins, right? It's not that hard to tell. She couldn't figure it out. She passes by the Beis HaMadzar, she passes by the Beis Medrash. Kids are kicking. She couldn't figure out that maybe there are twins in there. That was the big godless that Shane told her, had to tell her that you're having twins. I always thought maybe the simplest pshat in Chumash is she realized she's having twins. And she realized that one is kicking to get out at the Beis Medrash. And the other one is kicking to get out at the Beis Avodah Zarah. And she realizes it's her and Yitzchak. Yitzchak is nola tamima. Yitzchak is perfect. She was in awe of Yitzchak. The first time she met Yitzchak, she just fell off. She didn't know what to do with herself. She just bowed to him. Whereas she was the other contributing parent in the relationship. And she was thinking, Im Kain, if this is what we're going to produce, one like him and one like me, one like my family, Lama Zeh Anochi, why was I chosen to be the wife of Yitzchak? And that's why Shem had to encourage her, no, Shnei Goyim Bevinneich, Shnei Lulu Mimeayich Yiparedu. You think that Yaakov is the one that belongs to Yitzchak and Esav is the one that belongs to you? They're both yours. And isn't it funny how it turns out that the one that she relates to most is Yaakov and the one that Yitzchak relates to most is Esav? Like I mentioned before, the one you relate to is the one that typically reminds you not of yourself. It's the one that reminds you of your spouse a little bit more. But that bucked the trend of being like the sibling of the brother of the woman. Now, the poskim in general, in the Rambam, the Shulchan, they don't quote this halacha that you have to check the brothers. They quote other halachos, marry a bas talmid chacham, things like that. But they don't quote this halacha. Chachmas Adam quotes this halacha, but it's interesting that they don't quote this halacha. And most of the modern day poskim say that we should take into account that there are a lot of other influences in a person's life nowadays other than the sibling, and look at other things as well. Okay, if we had more time, we would discuss Hashkafa, but I guess we'll leave that for a different time. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and thank you so much for coming to learn together.